Podcasting 2.0 for December 9th, 2022, episode 112. Respect the splits. Well, hello. Hello, board members. Hello, assessors. Hello, witnesses up there in the stand. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0, the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Find out what's going on with the podcast namespace. Everything at podcastindex.org, and of course, all the shenanigans at podcastindex.social. It's on the Fediverse. I'm Adam Curry, here in the heart of Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. Here's the ping to every woman's... You can't laugh at me like that. He's the pod to every woman's ping. Say hello to my friends on the other end. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh, still, I just can't help it. I'm so.
What happened? I stepped out for one moment and mayhem, I tell you. What went down?
The chat room goaded me. They goaded me into. You have to understand the arrangement of my house. So where I podcast from, the room that I podcast in is directly across the hall, this little short hallway from the bathroom where I go to the little podcaster's room right before the show.
Okay.
And so I'm like, okay, Adam's gone. I'm done with my tweeting and tooting. I'm going to go over here to the bathroom and pee before the show.
And you had the door open and the mic on?
Oh yeah. I mean, and so I get back. Both doors were closed, but we have very thin walls. I get back and Boobery's like LOLing. And he says, the stream is strong with this one. So I'm just like giving every, you know, I tweet out, you know, the show's live. And then everybody tunes into a pee stream.
I think we have just received some audio.
This is a live stream in every sense of the word. So,
oh goodness. Yes. Okay. All right.
Tune in early. Yeah. You get the full stream.
Well, for those who are using one of those handy dandy podcasting 2.0 apps with notifications, which is Podverse. Podverse will notify you that we're live, and
soon
you can
be too. I'm reliably informed.
Okay. Well, of course, CurioCaster has all the features, but doesn't have the alert system, it being web based. And there's another one coming up?
Fountain. Oscar City is going to do it.
Oh, I did not. Yeah, I'm sure he wants to do it. I didn't know how far they were. Everyone's working on stuff, man. It's a lot of work to do an app.
Yeah, you got to go heads down and write some code. It's not easy. It's not easy at all.
And let me tell you something. So Tina switched to Fountain some time ago. She was a big PodFriend user. She liked PodFriend a lot. She liked the whole experience. She moved to and now this, she's my canary in the coal mine. I'm looking at what she's doing, and I think the most recent release came out, and I said, "Oh hey, you know, there's an update. Just make sure that Fountain is updated so that you get that." And she says, "Yeah, they sure needed that. It was about time." Oh. I'm like, "What?
What? Oh, hater."
Well, you know. Here's what I've noticed. Typically, I think it's by default that, you know, that Fountain will stream the podcast. I don't think it downloads it first. I'm not quite sure what the cache is on that. Mm-hmm. But for sure, there are spots in the house where, and actually when she's driving from Fredericksburg to Austin, there's going to be a spot somewhere where you just kind of lose your cell phone connection. It's, you know, this is hill country, Texas. So there's a couple of spots where it may drop out. Immediately, Fountain sucks. So
I heard Marco in a recent podcast saying that if he could do anything over again when it comes to riding Overcast, he would eliminate streaming and just do download only. And I 100% agree with that.
I'm down with that. 100%.
I totally agree with that. I mean, because the building I work in, every time I go into the elevator or the stairway shaft, the cinder block, I lose connection. So like I hate it. I mean, it's like it drives me nuts. The whole promise of podcasting was that you get full delivery ahead of time so that you don't have to worry about
it. Well, now let's be honest about it, because the only thing that really changes that is the notification system. So if Marco decides tomorrow, like, okay, why don't I just not notify anybody until it's automatically downloaded onto your device, problem solved. I mean, that is the true way to solve it. And I think that should be, as you're right, it's the original blog post was the original concept is have it ready for me when I'm ready, and let it come to me. There should just be, it's very simple, just an old school toggle mode. It's like, hey, you want this old school and the way it was intended? And then you just notify the people after it's downloaded and it's an auto download situation. That's all. I don't think it's a hard thing to implement.
I don't know why some people seem to be just, they're real download haters. They just really want, they think the whole thing should be streamed.
This is OCD people. And I will say that Tina is probably one of those. If she knew about it, if you said, hey, by the way, all these episodes that are unlistened to, they're actually sitting there on your drive in your memory, not being used. She deletes. Dave, my wife deletes text messages. Oh yeah, I don't need.
Oh, she's one of those.
Hey, don't be a hater. There's a lot of she's like those. I think it's a woman thing too.
No, it's cross gender.
Oh, really?
It's
cross gender.
It's cross gender comments. So like you go. There's so many. These are the same. I'm going to predict. I don't know this for sure. I'm going to predict that Tina also flicks her apps to kill them out of memory.
Oh, 100%.
I knew it.
Oh yeah. But it's not to get
5 minutes.
But it's not to get them out of memory. It's just to clean things up. For real. She also will delete photos off her phone.
I rarely do that.
Don't need this. Don't need this one. This is one and what she keeps is very necessary. But you know your customer, people. Know your customer here.
Yes.
And I think there's a lot of assumptions being made, which makes an ass out of you and me. A lot of assumptions about how people use this stuff. And as we know from the data that female listeners, women, I think is what the term is used. A lot of them listen on just a website with a web player. So know your customers here.
Female listeners, also known as women.
Hey, whatever the data was, I want to have it correct. I don't think it was the same. Sure. Women and female listeners is apparently not the same in the data anymore. Right. So just saying.
We haven't even done an episode in like 3 weeks. I need a grill report. How's the grill?
The grill is doing fine. Kind of severe. The whole thing was a 5.5 hour operation, or procedure, I should say. It was interesting that they used fentanyl on me, which didn't work all that well because I kept waking up, and they kept saying, "And we have enough in you to kill an elephant." Shut up, go to sleep.
They didn't use the Mexican fentanyl; they used the bargain basement
stuff. Well, I said, "Are you Irish?" I said, "No, I'm not Irish." Do you have red hair in the family? No,
yeah,
because gingers have no soul. I said, "No." Typically, that's a genetics that people need 2 to 3 times the amount of sedation. And then we just all chalked it up to my education in Amsterdam. I'm going to have some high tolerance for some reason.
Your education, your upbringing.
My upbringing.
My upbringing
in the lowlands. In general, it feels like I was hit by a bus in real slow motion. So, the impact is there. You don't really know what's happening. Then 3 days later, your whole face swells up. Now it's gone down. I can actually start to eat some solid food in very small bites. And now I'm feeling the soreness of where they've put these temporary 3 millimeter screws to help my bone grow before they go with the full, it's titanium. It's very cool technology.
That's the same thing that's the same thing Grant's got in his leg. Got the titanium rod.
Exactly. Yeah. And so they take some of your blood, some pig blood, and some other crushed up bones or something from some witch doctor in New Orleans.
That's a witch's brew.
That's right. And then they paste that all over. And actually, there's a plate on my bone, and then this will grow. That's where the two screws are. Then the bone will grow around that plate. And then in a couple of months, they can drill some titanium posts in there and put my real teeth in. In the meantime, I spent a lot of time, effort, and funds to create a temporary set That sounds good.
Oh, you sound zero different. You sound no different at all. Sound just like you always did.
Yesterday, the top flipped out at the end of No Agenda. Uh-huh. I mean, literally, it landed on the podcast desk with point.
And
yes, and I finished it without the top end. It was a little different.
It's like those little chatter teeth, Toy Store teeth. Well,
but what they are is the vampire teeth you buy for Halloween. You slip them over your own. It's exactly like that, except they're only slipped over the two canines, upper and lower, because there's nothing more in the middle. I know,
like those Billy Bob teeth. They look like the front teeth.
Yeah. Exactly. Ladies, I know it's a visual that just gets you all hot and bothered. I know. But, they're basically 3D printed. And so I got to ask.
Out of what?
Because it's a one piece. I'll have to ask my guy. I should know. But, it's all computer. It does it right there in the office. And so I'm thinking, now that this fits, because, it's a very precise. I mean, it fit right away. And, of course, you do have to put a little bit of geriatric paste on it to keep it in, which lasts 24 hours. Hence the don't go long on the podcast. They might pop out. In fact, I got about 2.5 hours before I'm due.
Is that why you asked me how long we wanted to go today?
Yes, exactly. And I want to know, do I have to reapply before the show?
You're at the 15-minute mark. I got to get my Polydent or whatever.
It's exactly what it is. It's so harsh. It is Polydent, literally. It is. But I'm thinking maybe I can get an endorsement deal from him. Anyway,
you totally can, yeah.
So I want to see, can I get a QR version with a QR code, 3D printed? Can I get one with, literally with like some gold grill? I mean, just you interchange them, it's going to be a couple months. Or how about just real fangs, like a real vampire?
A QR code. So I imagine this QR code is the miss, like the black and the white blobs of the QR code are just missing teeth. Like,
No, I was thinking, because these teeth look amazing. People had no idea these were temporaries. Like, they're like, really? And if you look really close, you see that they're not actually separated. But
you sent me a picture and they looked really natural. Yeah.
Right.
Because a lot of times what you see with the like partials and temporaries and stuff is that they sit unnaturally. And so then people's lips like kind of push, poof out.
Yeah.
It didn't look like these look totally normal.
Yeah. So they're well aligned, so I can put them together, and that could, and then all the whole teeth could have a full QR code in four quadrants.
with error correction.
speaking of, as we move into some more important stuff other than my face, I had the presentation meeting with IBEX today, IBEX. These are the kids who are doing the Satoshi, receiving Satoshi Lightning, and sending it to the company in fiat for no agenda.
Yep. So, give me the, can you reveal the report? Are the minutes public for this? Or?
I tweet. Yes, I can. I tooted a QR code and it works right now. You can, it's basically an LN URL.
You tooted it on, Agenda Social.
I did a retoot on Podcast Index or a boost, I should say.
Let's see.
Yeah. Anyway, it worked because people were sending it to me and, you can even have a link that creates a link or QR code that has a predetermined amount. So, exactly the kind of stuff. Hopefully I'm going to give this to Dvorak because that's the same way he uses PayPal when he does a link for the newsletter or something like that. And then people will be able to donate with Lightning and for tax purposes, because there's issues and reasons why we don't want to have Bitcoin hitting a no agenda account. Mm-hmm. It is settled in fiat, in the currency of your choosing, right into the bank account through, the overnight, automatic ACH. What is that?
Yeah, the wire transfer.
Yeah, exactly. That's not what it's called. It's called something else.
What is this QR code? What am I seeing here? This LN URL, but for how, like,
you can use?
I tried to hit it with Strike and it doesn't do anything.
No, it may not work with Strike or Cash App. It's you need you need, you know, Breeze or what else do we have? Blue Wallet or Wallet of Satoshi.
Okay, I'll open Breeze. I'll try that.
Yeah, while you're Breeze will do it. Okay. And so it's basically just an open send money.
Yeah.
So it's an open donation. And but what's cool about it is you put in, I mean, it's nothing special. The special part is on the back end that you can determine 100% or sliding scale of how much you want paid out in fiat. And that's the thing that's good here, because this is what a lot of people want. And it's much easier for your accounting. You have a spreadsheet export, which is perfect, just like Helipad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only 1% fee, I think, that they're charging.
Yeah, that totally went through with Breeze. 1,000 sats. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. That's cool. So the next step is to make it keysend enabled. Mm-hmm. So that's what they're working on now. So then we can use it as in the value block and talk about it in the value block on No Agenda. Hello, this is what I'm doing it for.
This is so beautiful. I love it.
And the third, which will take a little bit more thought and discussion, and of course the elusive Bolt 12 would help, but you know, we'll when hell freezes over, is some kind of subscription type mechanism. And with that I mean recurring payment, not subscription. Mm-hmm. And this has become a thing that is floating around about having recurring payments done by a service.
Right.
And I'm hearing different versions of it, and I think it's becoming really, really confusing.
So that's you want to delve into that?
Yeah,
for a minute?
I do. I have thoughts, but I'd love to hear your what you're thinking about it, because you know what I'm talking about, right? It's like,
yeah, absolutely. Well, I do. I mean, I do this. So, I mean, I would be hypocritical if I said that, you know, sending automated payments is BS. I mean, like I cron job payments to shows that I listen to. And the reason I do it.
Can I ask you a question before you continue?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you use all of the splits in the value block when you do that?
I do not.
Okay. So this is my problem. That's where I have a problem.
Yeah. I do not do that. I quickly hacked it together. And it's been on my radar to go back and do it that way, to modify it to where I'm doing it the right way. But the correct way, right way, is to do it with you query the value block as it currently stands, and then send just like a normal value Lightning payment.
Mm-hmm.
to all splits, all receivers, blah, blah. And so I hacked this together because I went through a period. This happens to me so often, every so often, where I get so busy that I just don't have time to listen to shows. And so I went, few weeks without listening to the Intergalactic Boombox. And then I was like, I want to make sure that I'm at least supporting these shows that I love, because I don't want my lack of what I want is for when I return to that show for it to still be there. And that means you got to support it.
This is a very good point. And that was a point that, the devil's advocate, raised on the Pod News Weekly is that people definitely want to make sure that you have ongoing revenue, even if you, the listeners, tuned out. And I think it's fantastic. I think that's really the only thing I would want is it has to be open, voluntary from the sender side, and it has to respect the value block. Otherwise, those are the things. And I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's for on my side. I'm just doing it the wrong way.
Yes. Shame on you.
I know. And I feel ashamed.
I had my own discovery, because on the Umbral now, they have something called the Oak node.
And I think I may have installed that.
Yeah. Did you install that? I mean, it's real. So. It's very, very cool. And they use something called B-cron. So instead of using a clock, it uses the block clock of Bitcoin, you know, the estimated mm-hmm. every 10 minutes being a block, and you can schedule, it has a little handy calculator, so you don't have to think how many blocks it'll be to do a daily or a weekly or a monthly recurring payment. Right. And I actually tried it out. I sent 24,000 sats, so 1,000 sats an hour to James Cridland, which he never acknowledged, by the way. and I'm looking because, you know, you can schedule that. And interestingly, one payment failed.
I think this is easily a thing that could be done by Fountain or Albi.
Yeah, just
had, I would gladly pay them a 1% fee on top of this to facilitate right on. This automated
yeah,
system.
Right on. I think that's the way it should be. And then as long as we're respecting the value block, which would be, I guess, retrieved through the GUID, or if it's not in a podcast app, but if it's in an app already, mm-hmm. then you already know what podcast it is. I would support that too. I think it's a great idea. I just want to make sure that people don't get ahead of themselves, because it's already, we're going to integrate this, and that's it, and that's it. And Sam Sethi is like, it has to be like, you have to sign a document that they can take it from you. I'm like, no. This is not going to work. This is the wrong way around.
We don't, no contracts.
That's No.
So I would say Breeze could do this too in its future incarnation. I don't think they could do it now, but like when they, on their next generation of service, they could do this too, I would think.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
Because yeah, you'll have like an always on.
People are going to have, developers have to start thinking about stuff, because, you mm-hmm. know, it's real easy to drain a wallet if you mess something up, you know. So the UX and taking all stupid use cases into account, I think, is important.
Sup in the chat room, he says, maybe setting a monthly sat donation limit, like 1 million sats. So I just see what he's saying. And I think that's also another possibility.
Of course.
Is you can say, like, there could be like, so we've talked about just pure V for V at the moment you send a vault, you send a manual payment each time. And then we've talked about like setting a per minute amount, and then it goes up to a certain limit and stops. Well, the sort of third variation of that is that you say, okay, I want to send, let's just say, 50, you set a maximum of 75,000 or 100,000 sats for this particular show that you like a lot each month. And at the end of the month, if you haven't sent it all, it sends the rest of it.
Yeah.
That's a third option.
I mean, it's clearly a podcast app feature, a wallet feature. It could be a service, which would be some kind of custodial thing. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do it. I really like the Oak node, and I just haven't gotten around to, but I made a note to myself to reach out to the Oak node folks and say, hey, exact same thing, only I want to get it, you know, just hook it up to this API, and I want to be able to select the podcast, select the, you know, do all the rest of the stuff. And then just let it go from my current wallet or whatever it is.
Speaking of splits for a minute, can we throw? I would like to put in Alex Gates for 5% for this episode, and Steven Crater for 5%. You down with that?
Of course. Hold on a second. Let me just write that down.
Alex helped me so much with the podping.cloud stuff. I want to give him some split today.
Steven did documentation again, of course, right?
Steven is like he's like the left hemisphere of my brain. Like, he just does things before I even know that I need to do them. He'll come up and just like merge some pull request, and I'm like, oh crap, thanks.
Now,
do
we have lightning addresses for these gents?
I'll get them for you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll do it. I'll get it for you. But that's, I just didn't want to forget that. But
yeah,
that's, I think that's, I think all of those things are on the table. All those variations of V for V. As long, I mean, the V for V, part of the spirit of value for value is that it's voluntary in every respect.
And yes,
and
exactly,
open. Yeah.
Exactly.
So a monthly, if I choose to send you monthly a specific amount, well, I mean, it's my choice, and that's just as fine as doing it any other way.
You know, Roy, Roy of Breeze, he tweeted. Let me see what he tweeted here. He tweeted a
about the million sats.
Yeah, status screen from his Breeze account. He says, hashtag V4V works. I've boosted over 1 million sats to podcastindex.org show this year, which is more than any subscription I have. And it's true. It's about so the true. It's about the open. It's like it's the open nature of it. It's the open nature of it. You will have people who give 10,000 times more than 90% of the other, but it starts to equal out. Stick with it, people.
I boosted New Media Show live the other day.
Yeah, I missed them. They'd just gone off air, and I'm like, oh man, I missed them. Yeah.
I boosted him because I was like,
finally it worked.
Yeah. It was like, you know, yay. There's just this sort of like sense of
euphoria.
And I wanted to be part of the show.
Yes, exactly. That true. So true.
Pupping.cloud working good, by the way. The new version rolled out.
That was
5x5 in the pipe.
That was actually first on my top of my list is Podping 2.0. You've been heads down with Alex, of course, and Steven Crater on the transcriber. Dude, tell us what's going on. What's happening? It seems like everything is working. What has changed? Do we need to know, or just it says what it does? What it says on the tin.
Some of that, I mean, like some of the stuff on the internals is interesting. So it was a long way to go on the back end just to get a little bit, just to get something small on the front end. Like, and so like what we needed was the ability to send podping.cloud. And let me go back.
Yeah, please.
So Podping, you send URLs to it, and then people can watch the Podping system and see those URLs within a few seconds after you send them.
Yeah, and do whatever they want.
Right. And so there's right now there's one backend writer, and that's for the Hive blockchain. So we what we needed, that's a complex thing to do. No matter what Brian says, that is a hard thing to do.
What is the hard thing to do?
The Hive, getting set up with Hive posting keys and setting up the script to the Hive writer and all this kind of, like, that's not for the, it's not something that you just jump into without knowing.
No, which is why we had a basic endpoint, right? That people could hit.
Yeah. So that's what Podping.cloud was meant to alleviate all the pain of onboarding.
Mm-hmm.
So we do all that on the back end. And it's sort of like Mastodon.host. I mean, you can either run your own Mastodon or you can fire up a $10 a month Mastodon.host. So that's what we're doing. We're doing the Podping.cloud is the front end to the complexity of the back end of what Podping really is on the public, on blockchains and whatever else we do in the future, which, you know, Gossip Sub and other IPFS things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Podping.cloud is. So the original incarnation of it was you just send a feed URL. All you're doing is you're letting the world know that this feed is updated.
Right. And now we have reason codes, I think, or there's a new format that comes along with this 2.0.
So we have two extra URL parameters in Podping.cloud. So you still send URL equals the feed URL. Now you can also send two extra parameters with that. Reason equals and then a reason code, and those reason codes are either live update or live end, and there will be new ones in the future. And you can also send a medium, and the medium is this, like, medium equals all the available mediums that are listed in the podcast namespace, and then some that are new that are coming that are the L versions of those mediums, which are lists.
And this is to save people the hassle of looking up what medium said feed would contain. They can just get it right away.
It's more of a the medium aspect of this looks downfield a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of a heads up to an app. So imagine in the future,
right,
when apps switch
to music, we got music incoming.
Yeah, right. So
that's what I mean. Yeah. So instead of them having to determine that, they get the information right away, can switch UI.
And they can, yeah, they can exact, they'll like, if this app really only cares about live music, you want them to be able to filter that, right, the noise out.
Right.
And only see music streams that go live. So just adding those two URL parameters, that seems like a small thing, but it ended up being a big lift.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because the front end, Alex had to re-engineer the back end, and I needed to re-engineer the backside of the front end to speak Cap'n Proto over the socket.
Okay, and just briefly, because I remember you were very excited about Cap'n Proto along with your Cap'n Crunch in the morning. So what exactly is Cap'n Proto? Let me ask you this. Has Cap'n Proto lived up to your expectations?
Oh, 100%.
100%. One time for the one time. All right, nice.
So it totally has. You're familiar enough with like TCP sockets, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So imagine I have computer A and computer B, and I open a TCP socket between the two. And now what you just have, you have a pipe, and you can put anything through that pipe.
Yes.
Nothing is going to keep you from sending anything and everything over this pipe, mm-hmm, which is chaos. So you have to agree on a protocol.
To some degree, yes.
Yeah. You have to see buffer overflows to see how this chaos works. So you have to agree on a protocol on both ends of the pipe. The protocol we agreed to in the first iteration of podping.cloud was that all that's going to come through the pipe is going to be a new line terminated URL string. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all you get. The
done.
You know, I'm going to receive it, and then I'm going to send that over to the backend writer. Well, if you got reasons and mediums and stuff, well, that's what are you going to come up with, this stupid complex string thing where you have like comma separated or something like, no, that's crazy. So, so Alex was like, let's use Cap'n Proto, which will allow us to create strongly typed messages that has enums in it, integers, strings, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did. We created he created a schema using the Cap'n Proto, strongly typed message format. So we're passing those back and forth.
Oh.
And it's beautiful. It's so efficient.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. Oh, very good. It crack up in a cold one. And so we had this thing working.
Yeah.
But it was slow. The problem here is that ZMQ, which is the pipe that we're using, the ZMQ socket doesn't handle multi-threading well on the Rust side, and I don't know if that's a limitation of the C library that is wrapped. I don't know, but you get, it's just not where it doesn't work well. So we were limited to just a single thread,
right?
And so what's going to happen? You know, what you have to do is you have to send a message, and then you have to wait for a reply. So something is going to block each time. Like you're going to be waiting to either send or reply or receive. And so there's just this weird, it was just really slow. So finally we were like, we kept debating this and making little small incremental improvements. And then I was like, okay, look, this is what I'm going to do. Every time we send for every URL, I'm also going to attempt to receive, and I'm going to set a 500 millisecond timeout on the receive. So it waits for half a second. And if it doesn't get a reply, it just moves on and sends the next one.
Okay.
That started working really well. And then Alex, and I was like, okay, this is great. I mean, we're sending like, yeah, this is going really fast. And then Alex was like, oh, you don't need, he's like, 500 milliseconds, that's way too long. He's like, just set it for like 10 milliseconds. So I dropped the thing down to 10 milliseconds. Oh my God. It was like, I threw 10,000 feeds at it, and it was like, I mean, it just blew through these things in like 30 seconds. it was amazing. And so then, you know, of course, then we get addicted to it and we start thinking, Alex is like, throw 100 at it, go. And I'm like, 100,000 feeds. So I'm, you know, I throw 100,000 feeds at this thing. And Brian's asleep in Israel, you know, and he wakes up the next morning and his little chart thing looks like, you know, it looks like a bomber, you know, attacked the city. Cause he's like, you know, his stats chart. And he's like, oh my God, what did y'all do? So like we ran the test net out of resource credits or whatever that means and all this kind of stuff. And you know, so I was throwing 200,000 at it. And he was like, Brian woke up and was like, whatever you did, don't ever do that again. Anyway, it was,
and so what did that actually do on Brian's end? What did that do?
It blew the hive thing up. I mean, like it was just like rocking that thing. Like, as fast, it was saturated as fast as it would go, the blockchain. So we could not feed it any faster. So our side is as efficient as it can get, is what that translates into. So then you just multiply that times we have five load balanced Podbean.cloud hosts.
Right.
You know, and we can go 25,000 feed URLs, a minute.
So these Podbean.cloud hosts, those are just regular servers that are synced together, that are serving that to each other. What exactly is happening? Just so I understand, is Hive still the backbone of the system?
Yeah, it is. So we have five servers, and each one of them has their own set of posting keys. So all five of them can post simultaneously, and it just gets load balanced between every request.
And where do they post? They post into the Hive blockchain?
Yes. Okay. That's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But one of the aspects of this re-architecture is we want to do other backends. So we want to have like IPFS gossip sub. And I want an object storage.
IPFS gossip sub?
Yeah, so it's like pub sub over IPFS. It's using lib P2P protocol. Oh. So, it's that thing I showed you. I give you like digital.
I know what you're talking. Is that anything like this hole punch keep business? Similar?
I don't know enough about hole punch to know what that even is yet.
Me neither. It's like I set up a room, everyone joined, and that was the end of the test. And I'm still in there, like, hello. Is this on? Yeah. Is anybody doing anything here?
My buddy Tim, he's been sending me stuff about Keat and Hole Punch for a few months. He's really into it, and that's the first time I've been in a room and like seen it.
Because someone sent that to me, and the message was like, excuse me, it was like, Hole Punch, check it out. This is what cross-app comments, file hosting, everything will be on this in the future. I'm like, okay, I'll check that out. Now, it's basically a messaging system that ties into Lightning and some DHT, which is distributed hash tables, I think, DHT space.
That's the thing is it ties into Lightning for micropayments, but it doesn't use Lightning for its communications.
No, it's just in there to send.
And I was glad to see that. When I first saw it, I was like, oh no, they're going to try to use Lightning for chat, which is not good. But, we want to have this stuff.
Were you able to play that file I put in there?
Oh, I didn't see a file.
It was a player. It was a No Agenda episode.
Oh, I didn't see it.
Oh,
it's still up on my screen on my other computer. I'll go look.
It was probably in there before you logged in. I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, I like it if it's true, but you know, I like IPFS too. There's all kinds of cool stuff. All right, so it's open now, so it can be other backends. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, good.
Yeah. So and hopefully, I think that's necessary. I mean, because you never want all your eggs in one basket, yes, and you want to diversify. So I want to have it on object storage every, you know, every few seconds, write a new object storage block.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about
the object storage, because that's what you want. So I'm paying extra attention. Maybe it's a stocking stuffer or something I can get you for under the tree. Tell me what you want.
Give me an S3 bucket in my stocking.
That's basically just
in a bucket, you know, like a public bucket uh-huh. that goes back, like that may have like the last half a million blocks of feed URLs. And somebody can just watch, you know, that none of these.
I still don't understand what that is. And I still don't understand what object storage is.
Well, so, I mean, object storage is just.
Like S3 bucket?
S3. Yeah.
Okay.
S3
all buckets, right. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. And so we'd have a file that just rotates every few seconds. That has the new stuff in it. People could just poll it if they wanted to.
It's funny.
You're just thinking about all these different options.
It's funny you say that, because, you know, I've always been like an object storage guy. I always liked the idea of tiny files in in folders that you can, you know, access easily. And it's so easy to kind of maintain. And I installed something that popped up on the Umbral. Maybe it had always been there. It's called Trillium, T-R-I-L-I-U-M. So it's one L. That's critical, because there's some other things out there with double L.
I've heard of this. What is it?
And it's a server, so you can access it through a web browser, but you can synchronize. I think they have I know they have a Windows client I'm using, and a Linux client, and some experimental Mac. No mobile. And it's kind of like Freedom Controller for the rest of my life. As I delve into it more, I realize it's actually Frontier but written in a proper database with modern languages, because it's outliner based, and the nodes can have properties, and the nodes can also run JavaScript. So you can run and compile JavaScript that does stuff and makes the application useful, and it has a database back end. And it actually integrates almost perfectly with Freedom Controller. Were it not that the export of all versions of OPML that they claim is 2.0 is not, it doesn't include the link property. It's, you know, all the.
Of course.
Which is like, it's so close. You're so close. Just the property of the node. And they have their own properties too. All kinds of cool properties.
Is it open source?
It's open source. And it's. I gotta tell you, man, this thing has changed the way I organize myself. Because, you know, an hour.
T-R-I-L-L-I-U.
No, 1L, 1L, 1L.
Yeah, okay.
And it's because I understand outliners, and so it lets me work. It has all kinds of good shortcuts and tools for outliner, which really is creating, you know, having a UI for creating different types of nodes. So there's a node that becomes a folder, a node that's a link, a node that's a to-do, which, you know, is taken from org mode. It has a beautiful editor in it. This is the main thing. So every node, you can edit with a full-on WYSIWYG markdown. I've been holding back on this just to tell you how excited I am about it, because it's kind of something I think you might like. It. I mean, it's really changed the way I organize my life. And Tina's going, who are you?
You remember stuff. What happened? She's
like, you did this at 7 a.m. You're like, you already had all that changed and checked. And what is going on? It's really helping me get things done.
It says Trillium. Hierarchical note-taking application with focus on building large personal knowledge bases.
Yeah, it's got kick-ass search, which is, you know, one drawback of most of these systems.
Can it import OPML?
Yep. It will suck. No, it will suck. It will not import the properties. It'll import basically the node structure.
Will it import the links at least?
No. Why would it do that? No, why would it do that? That would be completely stupid. Well, it's probably just a small fix. You know, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm committed to the system.
Their Ukraine flag on their GitHub repo is as big as the screenshot of the product.
Yeah, I just looked past the ass. I would love to support the developer. I'm not going to support Ukraine. Okay. I'm not going to support the military industrial complex.
No. Well, um, that
Just something to have
that's
a look
cool.
at.
I'll check it out.
Something to have a look at. Okay. Here's a question. Oh, no, no. I'm sorry. Whoa. No, you okay?
Yeah, I just spilled almost saw my monitor over. Yeah, yeah. I'm good.
So a lot of excitement around Mastodon. A lot of exciting development. People are discovering Activity Pub, Subhub thing. So cross-app comments. It's now or never. And I just want to understand why it seems not to be happening.
It could be because I think we need to accept this as a possible reality here. Now, whether or not this thing I'm about to say is true does not ultimately doesn't bear on whether or not the social interact tag or the way that we've built it needs to exist, because I think it does regardless. Mm-hmm. It's never a bad idea to have a good protocol for a thing.
Right.
But it could be that most people don't want anything social in their podcast app.
Okay, so here's what I think. I think, first of all, there's only, there may be some Castapod feeds out there. There's every single one of my feeds, No Agenda. If you want some traction, please go look at OP3 and tell me if you think No Agenda has the traction for you to try something. I always put a root post in there. There's action on the root post because people respond to that in the No Agenda social Mastodon. So it's A, not being surfaced, and no one has a log into your Mastodon to join the conversation. And so therefore, in my mind, that's how we move things forward. The app developers has to come first in my mind, because I already have that we're creating the content with enough users for it to not be a dead feature. And then only then will hosting companies start to consider adding that themselves for the larger audience. This is what we've seen in the past 2 years. This is how it works. But for some reason, people and I do blame a little bit on Cridland with pushing the Boostagram comments in Fountain, because Fountain is just, that's their ecosystem now. Fountain almost can't do cross-app comments. They've kind of painted themselves into a corner, which I'm not against. In fact, I like it very much. But if no one is going to pick up the cross-app comments and Activity Pub, I'm going to go full in on doing it with Lightning, whatever Fountain is doing, because my content is not being surfaced.
Well, so who would do it? So what app do you expect would do cross-app comments next?
Breeze, Fountain, okay. CurioCaster, Castapod, Castomatic.
Okay.
And I would hope this would be a great thing for Pocket Cast. Yeah, Pocket Cast. Of course. They're going on Activity Pub. So let's please let someone else go first, but I'm asking our group.
I would think that to me, Pocket Cast makes the most sense for this feature. Maybe I'm nuts, but to me it just seems like it's right in their wheelhouse. It's an open protocol. I mean, they're all about social and about it's owned by the company that created WordPress. Mm-hmm. Like that's WordPress is all about interop, and mm-hmm. They sort of not invented, but absolutely popularized the notion of having comments on a blog post. Mm-hmm. All that stuff just makes sense that Pocket Cast would be the one to do cross app comments and surface them in their app. And it's open now, so somebody can go at it. Now that's a complex feature, and right. It probably requires some back end. They would want that, But at least as far as the UI goes, I mean, that could be helped by the open developers.
Yeah, I'm just, and I'm not condemning anybody. I don't understand. You know, mm-hmm. and we have a real push. There's developers, there's users, there's re-users coming in and very excited about, you know, the differences that the Fediverse has in just how the culture is and the vibe of it all. And so perfect to do this now. And I just checked on CurioCaster. I can't find it if the comments are there. I don't think Podverse surfaces them.
I mean, yeah, it's in Podverse, their mobile app and the web, yeah.
Let me see. Podverse.
Yeah, it's in both.
Right, but I can't. Let me see. Hold on a second.
You swipe to get to it in Podverse on the app.
Okay. Let me see. So I'm playing it here, and I swipe. Well, I don't see how I swipe on the. Not on the web app. I don't think.
Oh, you're on the web app.
Yeah.
No, it's on the mobile app. It's there.
Right.
Yeah, you swipe over to, I think you swipe left to get to it.
Okay.
I just opened my Podverse and it shows a little live emblem right beside it.
Oh, you got it.
I
love that. Right, no comments there, but let me just...
Not on the live.
I'm sorry, everybody. I'm doing this while you're listening to me doing it, which is kind of creepy.
It is on the web app. You just not, like, you don't swipe. I think it's just on a different location. Like the comments are collapsed by default on the Podverse app. Mm. So you don't normally, like, you don't see it unless you expand the comments.
I'm probably not logged in, so that may be part of the problem here.
Let me see, podcasting 2.0. Look at ours.
Yeah, I'm going into it now. I see the live works. This is so beautiful. Love it.
Pod Molly. Yeah, so if you click on Pod Molly.
If you
see comments there, transcript, comments, chapters, yeah. Clips.
And I have no comments. Oh, yeah, there it is. No, I have no comments. And
it takes a second.
It takes a second.
If you hit it, it takes a second to pipe. It has to go grab all the comments.
Okay. All right.
But anyway, it.
So it's there. But you can't respond. There, but you sure. Can't respond. It's not prominently featured. And of course, you know, if you want to, I don't know, I think Mitch has seen an uptake in Podverse uses. And why is that? It's because it's the only podcast that gives you an alert when No Agenda goes live. Mm-hmm. And so what I say is, hey, you can go get Podverse if you want to be alerted when No Agenda show goes live, and you can get right into the, what we call the troll room and the comments. So I'm just saying, I will promote everybody's app.
Okay. Well, there you go. I think you just answered the question. What causes apps to implement features? This goes right back to what we've known the whole time. Apps won't implement features that don't have content available to that it can surface.
As I said, every single one of my shows has it and has content in it historically for many shows.
Right, but Pocket Cast is not going to do something that's only on one or two podcasts.
Why not?
They're going to want to see more content.
Why do you make that assumption?
Because they're a big app and they don't want to spend time on something that only has one or two podcasts.
I think that's presumptuous. I'm not so sure. They also made it open source. You know, they think it's a big app, and by the way, it's open source. I don't know. I'm not so sure that they wouldn't want to implement that.
I mean, I think they want to implement it. I'm just saying it's probably a hard
sell. Back to my original point. If we all want to wait until Apple does it or Pocket Cast or someone big, that's disappointing to me. We've proven.
I don't want to wait.
No, I'm just saying we've proven. I'm not saying this to you. We've proven. We've proven that when we show more than one app doing something, people start to take it up. Transcripts is a great example. It's a slow lift, but it's getting there. And eventually it will just become standard, which brings me to the, and so we can leave this. It brings me to the next piece. Did Apple just accept using the podcast namespace by accepting the TXT record, or is this some back-end deal that Transistor has that isn't really using the namespace?
No, I think it's been sanctioned.
Has there been a press release, or has someone acknowledged this?
No, but I think it's
so if I make a feed with the TXT record to be verified on Apple Podcasts, I would put that in my feed in the TXT tag.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think Apple's push, the way I understand it, Apple's push, and I sent you a screenshot, by the way.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. Thank you. Adam getting wood? Really? Is that what the screenshot is? What the heck is that all?
That was on Podverse. That's a clip.
Oh, no wonder. All right. So we can have Adam getting wood clips, but we can't have comments. Okay. Thanks. All right. I know what's going on.
It's because it's only childish people get move the world forward.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think Apple's, I think they're going to, the way I understand it, push hosts to adopt the TXT tag for verification.
So can I say, in my own marketing materials, Apple has adopted the podcast namespace with the first tag, which is the TXT tag for verification.
I think you can say whatever you want.
I don't want people to get mad.
Well, I mean, run it by Ted. Say, hey, Ted, can I say this out loud?
I don't think
in public.
The point,
or Zach.
No, you know, the point is, all right, fine. I'm not going to beg anybody. I just want to know. I mean, if Apple actually is recognizing the namespace, it'd be nice for them to say it. It's okay if they don't want to. Typical.
I'd like them to say it out loud. I'd be very appreciative of that.
I'd be super appreciative of it, but it feels like, to me, it feels like there was this thing, Apple's going to do this, and everyone was talking about it, and they're going to announce it, and there's no announcement. And I'm like, okay, so what was the big secret about? Did it actually happen? Is it true? To me, it feels like Transistor has just some API thing on the back end, so they don't put an email address in, and they hand it off properly to Apple. It doesn't feel like, well, okay.
No, they're putting the TXT record in. No, that's it's going in the feed. They're doing it. Transistors do it 100%. Did it the right way.
100%.
They did it the right way. And I think my understanding is Apple is at such a time because you know. Okay, I think the mix up here is that Apple has forecasted that they are going to, in the future, deprecate the iTunes author, iTunes owner tag.
Sure, sure.
So, but they haven't done it yet. They said early 23. Mm-hmm. So the way this would go, I think, is that they would say here, you know, on the official day when they actually deprecate it, then they would have a thing that says, and here's what we recommend you do instead. I bet you that's the way that it's going to come down the pipe.
Mm. I do not see a single TXT record in any feeds.
Because nobody's moved. You only use it when you need to verify.
Okay.
It goes in there when you verify.
Mm. I'm suspicious. Show me.
That's going to be the subtitle of your autobiography. Adam Curry. I'm suspicious.
No, it's Adam Curry held hostage by my hair. I'm suspicious. Okay, <that's good. laughs>
I brought stats, by the way.
Great, because I have some questions about that. Lay them on me. I'm interested in your stats.
This is something I've been wanting to, something been in my crawl for a while. As you know, Spurlock publishes these monthly stats where he goes back and he's like, the number of new episodes. I always wonder, what I've always wanted to dig down on is how many of these new episodes, like he'll say, here are the hosting companies that publish the most new episodes for November.
Uh-huh.
And I've always wondered how many of those feeds that published a new episode, how many of those were existing feeds versus new feeds? So what percentage of those shows that published in November, how many of those feeds was that their first episode?
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. So indicating that it's a brand new feed that's never existed before versus an existing feed that is just publishing another episode. So in November, the number of unique feeds that published an episode was 366,849. So that's pretty, I mean, that's pretty good. That's it. That's in line with what it normally is. Of those 366,849 shows that published an episode, Anchor represented 96,391 of those. So that's 26%. So 26% of the feeds that published a new episode, 26% were Anchor, and this is in November. So if you drill, if you sort of get down further and say, how many of that 366,849 feeds that published in November, how many of those feeds were created in November? It's 9%, 34,188. So just shy of 10% of November's feeds that published an episode were brand new. There were feeds that had not existed before. And then if you drill down a little bit further than that, you can say of those, excuse me, not of those, but Anchor feeds that were created out of thin air in November were 10,032%. So at 10,032. So 3% of the total were brand new feeds created on Anchor. So the way we take it is a third of the new feeds that were created in November were created on Anchor. Mm-hmm. Is basically what you can say.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. I mean, like, and when, by, let me explain. I mean, by good, I mean, obviously Anchor's this huge, gigantic free host. So they're going to suck all the air out of the room most of the time. But you're only looking at a third. That means two thirds of all the brand new feeds in the month of November came from other hosting companies that were not Anchor. So that's actually encouraging to me.
Can I ask a couple questions here?
Yes.
Because I see a lot of this work going on. I see we got some kind of stats package that some new developer came in and was really, introduced that. It's always nice once a developer births a new project into the world.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And so I have a couple of questions that roll into one. And it really, my main question is, what is the why of this?
So besides, I knew you were going to do that.
Well, I'll expand a little bit. And I just want to understand, besides creating endless content for Pod News and reports for podcast consultants, I think the stats are interesting, but what is the objective and what is the analog in the radio or any other publishing industry? I've never cared what television people used to watch me or what radio device. Is this for hosting company marketing?
My interest in this is purely to get a sense of the overall health of the podcasting in the independent podcast hosting ecosystem.
Well, you can't determine health without knowing if what is coming out is, it could be love, it could be shit. You don't know what it is. I mean, you don't know the content of these things. It's just random. To me, it's the other side of the Dalvik issue. I mean, the podcast industrial complex fell so flat on its face once again when anybody can, just use some, like Samsung used some user agent, and it screwed up all the charts, all the rankers. It completely defrauded advertisers at some point. I mean, mm-hmm. this whole thing is broken. And it just, to me, it feels like the only thing I can see is that perhaps John Spurlock sees this as being some type of open system that some advertisers or some sponsors may ultimately use to some degree, but I just don't understand the why of this project.
These stats that I'm talking about and the monthly stats from John, these are not download stats. These are feed stats.
I understand, but it's all part of the same thing to me.
Nah, well, yeah, but I disagree because the feed stats, the download stats get into all the ickiness and the yuckiness of advertising and reach. And
okay,
all
we agree on that. But all this other stuff, I'm just like, okay.
So when I say health, I mean like we're talking about capture. We don't want one behemoth company, a hosting company, to essentially capture the entire, suck all of the podcasting into itself. And so they then begin to dictate terms.
Okay. Stop there. Got it. Okay. So I'm not fighting. I love you. You know that, right? This is highly interesting to me because I see all the energy that's going in. I want to figure out what can I do with this energy? Is it useful? What's the tripwire when what you just said? Okay, someone's sucking all the energy out of the room. They're somehow garnering too much power. What is the tripwire and what is the resolution? What is the action we need to take?
That's when we trigger the top secret weapon.
Okay, so just as I thought, it's useless exercise. you have no answer for my questions, Dave Jones. I want you to enjoy doing what you do. I really do. I don't know if I'm supposed to be paying attention or not. I don't know. It's hard because
I have boundless energy.
I don't have cross app comments, but I know exactly which hosting company is doing well.
Well, but okay. All right. Let me take that ball and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly which hosting companies are doing well. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a little bit of a misnomer too. I mean, I'm sure Anchor's losing money, so they're not actually doing well.
Good point. You can't look in someone's pocketbook for sure.
Yeah. So, but this also tells you whether, like, this gives you ideas about whether or not certain about whether or not, so,
well, here's an example. Here's from the chat room. Ice Cube Soup says, I think some interesting stats would be feed which published its 20th episode, 50th episode, etc. Feeds which published an episode 3 years after its first published event, 5 years, etc. And I'm saying,
that's not interesting in any way.
Thank you. This is my point. Where is the interesting data? Where is something that will interest me?
But let me say that, but you imagine that we did this. Okay. Imagine that I brought these stats instead of the mundane stats that I gave you a while ago, if instead what I reported was that, okay, 366,849 feeds were published a new episode in November and 50% of those were new feeds created on Anchor.
Yeah.
All of the sudden you're like, no. Okay, wait a sec. Oh, you'd be the proper response to that would be, there is something majorly wrong within podcasting.
Like, these I don't numbers see why. Are, why would, these why would something are, be wrong? Why would something be wrong? What is wrong? I mean, I don't understand. This is exactly what I don't understand.
But what would be wrong would be, you would be right to conclude that, that very few people are actually signing up for new podcasts, and most of them are just dicking around on Anchor.
But is that a bad thing?
Yeah, it would be a bad thing.
Why? Why is it a bad thing?
Because it would be hard to go out and convince people to implement new namespace features if the hosting companies are actually looking at their books and being like, oh my God, we can't pay the bills. Like, that, to me, that's what I mean by health. Like,
right, but if you have an industry where you have a huge VC funded player who is giving away free stuff, your industry may be in trouble anyway.
True, but I don't need stats. Much in trouble they're in.
Yeah. Okay, all right. I think you should write up a report, I think you should do a Substack. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Do a Substack, and here's the health of the industry. I think it would be a hit. I do.
Done.
I'm telling you, Daniel
J. Adjourned.
Listen, Daniel J. Lewis, point of personal privilege, is going to do this now that I've given this idea. Health of the podcast industry.
It'll be his next episode.
Yeah. I mean, if you're loving those stats, I'm happy. I am. I don't understand.
I wouldn't say I loved them. It was actually painfully boring to give them, but I just felt like I needed to bring something to the show.
The database was there and it needed to be mined. I get it. I totally understand that. I understand that. I understand. Oh man. There's some new app popped up, which I didn't quite understand. Castle, did you take a look at this?
Have not looked at it yet, no.
Castle is an interactive podcast player for people who want to go beyond listening. Transcribe, save, share, and search podcast content all from one simple platform. Castle's goal is to bring the next level of collaboration and learning to the podcast world. Hey, Castle guys, why don't you do some cross-app comments if that's your goal?
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, for sure. Like, it's a greenfield project. Yeah, you could bake it right in from the beginning.
Right? Perfect.
Yeah, it's a good time to do it.
Oh man.
Let me just say that I've been, somebody contacted me through email and did a sort of an in-depth analysis on the index to find duplicates.
Oh.
And what he found, and he sent me his methodology and everything, which is sound. It's good. It's a good way to do it. He found 50,000 duplicates in the index.
Well, wait a minute. That's what, 1%?
Yeah, that's 1%.
That's pretty good, man. Congratulations.
I felt good about that.
You should. Holy crap.
Hey, very high five.
Yeah, virtual. Well, hold on a second. I need to have this thing a little more standby. There we go. Hey.
1%.
1%. With the 1%. Congratulations, man. That's really good. That is really incredibly good. Do we, how about the Slurpee? The Slurpee?
Oh, it's still going. We're closing in.
You like 50,000 feeds of music, I think you said, or posted
44,000.
Pretty close. Oh, that's not bad. Yeah. That's a good start.
And you know, Disktopia unleashed their value block integration and their medium tags. So we got to get them on the show.
Have we seen anything show up from them on in the index? Any feeds with the?
I'm going to bring some stats next week about it.
These are stats I'm very interested in, Dave. Oh, goodness.
Do anyone thank people?
Yeah, definitely. This is value for value, by the way. And if you would like this to continue, not just this banter, but the whole project, which seems to kind of be centered around podcastindex.org, most of the people who use it like to support it. You never want it to go away. It's the other side of the conversation about regular payments that you want to keep handing off to a podcaster through the value block. It all makes total sense. I love what you said earlier, that, you know, it's all value for value and there's many different ways we can expand that. And I completely agree. And so one of that is recurring donations, which people do with us right now by force. It has to be through PayPal with the fiat fund coupons, but we also get lots of boostergrams. And if you want to support us, go to podcastindex.org. There is an on-chain QR code there, or at least a link to one that you can hit if you, which no one does. Or you can just use the PayPal button and of course get a modern podcast at newpodcastapps.com and boost us, boost away. So let's, who do we have to thank today, Dave?
Oh, we got a stellar.
We have group. This is from 2 weeks since we were off.
Yeah. We've got coming in right off the top, rss.com. The boys in gold there, $1,500.
Whoa!
Baller! Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Now, that's what I'm talking. That's some value for value, right? That's I think that's the biggest baller we've ever received.
We had one bigger baller than that, and that was the anonymous cash donation in the P.O. box.
Ah, yes. That's right. Yeah. That was pretty cool. That was Sir Anonymous, wasn't it?
I think that's the speculation, yes.
Yes.
Ben and Alberto said, to Dave and Adam and everyone who has worked on the mission of the Podcast Index in 2022, Thank you for all your time and talents this year. Because of you all, podcasting is still open and free. Happy holidays and happy new year from the team at RSS.com.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I got to hit this for
Go
you.
Go podcasting!
Boost! Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's our month. That's a month right there.
Straight up.
It's a month. Yeah, totally. Thank you, thank you.
We also had Marco coming in with 500 again this month.
Thank you. I'm going to give him a dollar.
Shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you very much, Marco. Highly appreciated. And of course, for him also, value for value. This is what you're seeing. These are people who have a business. And so I don't mind if you placate them with your stats.
Now that we have...
Now I understand why you do this. Okay, I got it. Yes, it works. Good work, Dave. More hosting company stats. I think it's working.
We'll do a skit. Effective, we'll do a feature every week.
I love it. I love it.
The live item tag, that would be a really good fit for Overcast, I think. It makes a lot of sense. Lit. We got to make that lit.
Yeah.
Buzzsprout coming in with $500.
Baller.
Again this month.
Yes. Caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Dave, we shall have some bacon with our gruel.
I mean, like, we should take 2 weeks off more often.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the way you do it.
All right. I was making money while we sleep, everybody.
Fountain coming in with $200. Thank you, Oscar and Nick.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you so much. That's so cool.
Yes, and we thank Tom and Kevin and the guys over there at Buzzsprout too very much.
Shall I hit the live boostergrams that came in while we were yakking?
Let me do these two other PayPal. We got We got two more. Emilio Cano Molina sent us $20.
Thank you, Emilio.
In PayPal. No note on that. And Basil Phillip sent us actually a new automatic payment subscription for $25 a month.
Thank you very much. That's appreciated, especially those monthlies, man. It makes a big difference.
Well, we had a couple of 25s cancel on the PayPal.
Yeah, the PayPal again. Yeah.
PayPal again. Yes. All right, hit it.
Well, coming in 22 minutes ago, 97,531 sats from Chimp, who says, love to have the duo back in action. Any updates on the hackathon? Dame Jennifer working her magic?
Me and Dame Jennifer had discussed the hackathon. I think things just got too busy, but
maybe the new year.
Probably pick it up in January.
Yeah, okay. And
yeah, I think we're going to pick it up in January.
Chimp says, can I get a Go Podcasting?
Go Podcasting!
Sure can. 33,333 from Eric PP says, welcome back. Thank you. See Brooklyn 1112. Back to business is the boostergram. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sats. Tone Wrecker with Row of Ducks 2222. Podverse alert hit for live. So sending some welcome back sats. There you go. It works. Boobery 17,766. Big Patriot boost. Live is lit and all that shit. We got you. Cass Peeland. I'm looking at my helipad. Now I'm into. No, that's what we. Yeah, that's what we had for the live boosts for now. Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Okay. You know, I'm sending out a lot of Podping authorization headers. Podping.cloud. This is good. We've seen a lot of adoption the last couple of weeks.
Good.
We got some boostergrams from last 2 weeks. We got Mitch Downey, 10,000 sats, no note.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate that. Oscar Mary, also known as Mary Oscar, 10,000 sats through Fountain. And he says, to add any Fountain user to the splits, you can find their value block info with the custom key, custom value by clicking on the bolt on their web profile link. And he gives a URL, https://fountain.fm/MaryOscar.
Big props to Stephen B's Sovereign Feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he's made this. I love this program. So he's made it so that if you want to add something to the value block and you do add new split, you can also use Albi, Fountain, or the V4V app to get the credentials just by using the lightning address, and it resolves it and pre-populates the fields. I mean, it's beautiful.
That's really cool.
And that's
so nice.
Yeah.
Yep. 2222 from Jaunty MS. No note. Thank you, Jaunty. Dovi Das from Blue RS, from RSS Blue, sent us through Fountain regarding episode 111, discussion on the formal definition of a schmuck. I think Larry David put it best. There are only two types of people, poor schmucks and rich pricks. There is no one in between.
Yeah, I'm down with that. That makes sense.
I like it. Yeah,
that's good. That's right on.
Macintosh sent us 100 sats, which is low, but he says he had a good note here. Balance of Satoshi sounds just like the type of thing I was going to code and never got around to doing so. Glad someone is handling this. I'll check it out.
Oh, sure. Man, that program's been around for a while and has a, it's a lot of, it's bulletproof.
It's a Swiss Army knife.
Yes, it is very, very, very handy.
Rolfie sent us 500 sats and said, lots of love. Hey, thank you, Rolfie. Dalen sent us 6,500 sats through Fountain. He says, I don't have the docs handy, but Pleroma and its forks, Acoma and Rebased, which are competing ActivityPub servers with Mastodon, already can be configured as an identity provider for other services. Future is now, guys.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Identity. Yeah. Federated identity. I like it. George Orwell sent us a row of sticks, 1111, through Fountain. He says, have you guys already looked into Nostr? GitHub.com/Nostr-protocol/Nostr.
Now, where did this just pop up? Where did I see this Nostr business?
Yeah, Nostr, Gigi mentioned it, and Alex looked into it.
Is this briefly. Is this I haven't looked into it. Telegram bot? Is that what Nostr is? Is Nostr a bot?
I don't know. I have not looked into it long enough to understand what it is or what it's about. I don't know.
Oh,
but
Nostr is, I'm just reading from the GitHub, the simplest open protocol that is able to create a censorship resistant global social network once and for all. And then it says, join the Telegram group. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. Yeah. You know what? It's like, oh, there's all this stuff out there, and I'm going to stick fast to cross app comments on ActivityPub until it doesn't happen. Then I'm just going to go with any wind that blows my way.
I think Alex was concerned about it because he said something about it enabling censorship in some way. I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
Well, he's the guy to ask for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I don't want to. Please don't take that as gospel because I don't know. Mere Mortals podcast 3333 through Fountain. Kyron, our buddy over there, says streaming sats is a dopamine drip more than a dopamine hit. It still feels like crazy good drugs, but I'm not going to sell my imaginary children to get more, mostly because I'm rich in sats afterwards and don't need to, boy.
Okay, boy. Okay. All right, boy.
Oh, our buddy Franco Solario, developer of the Castomatic app.
There you go. Hello.
Sent us a boost of 1,000 sats. He says, debugging new code to report failed Lightning Network transactions to the user. Disregard this message. No, I'm not going to disregard it, Franco.
No.
Boost.
Thank you very much, Franco.
Gene Bean sent us Elite Boost 1337 through Castomatic. He says, I hope Buzzsprout takes your idea on OAuthing the Fediverse. Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Floridian Slips, 5,000 sats through CurioCaster. And he says, I don't always remember to boost, but when I do, it's to bowl after bowl. But you boosted us.
It really is a little low for a promo boost.
Yeah, right.
Please.
Mike Dell, our buddy over at Blueberry, the senior vice president of podcasting 2.0 relations. He sent us a first Albie boost through Podverse for 1,000 sats.
In the chat room, breaking news, PodSave Dave Jones condemns Nostr for censorship. Yeah, that's how you write a headline.
Yeah, right.
That's how you do it. That's how you do it.
I'm going to hear about that. 7777 from Steve Wilkinson.
Striper boost.
He works. Striper boost through Castomatic. And he says, regarding Christian rock metal bands, see Skillet. Skillet.
Skillet. Do you remember Skillet?
Never heard of Skillet.
I don't think I've ever heard of him either.
I've never heard of Skillet.
I have
a feeling we're about to hear some Skillet.
Are you kidding me? I mean, I would never give up an opportunity to play a little Skillet for y'all. Let's see. Skillet, Psycho in My Head. That sounds like a good little, here we go. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boost.
Yeah.
best. Maybe I'm just
paranoid. Oh, he needs to stop singing. That's not good. It was all fine until he started singing. I like the ear daggers, not the singing.
Okay. Dynamite.
100,000 sats.
Woo!
Oh, wow. Okay. Linkin Park Rule sent us 100,000 sats through Podverse. Hey, Adam and Dave. Have you checked out what Matt Odell has done with Geyser Fund for his V4B podcast, Citadel Dispatch? He has his node connected to the campaign so the public can see all the boosts and sats streamed in real time with a leaderboard. Oh. P.S. We need to talk polls. Okay.
Polls?
Boost.
I think I went to that site. I saw the announcement, but I didn't quite get it. But now if it's basically just displaying his leaderboards and stuff, it's cool. What was it called again? Geyser? What was that called?
Geyser.fund/project/Citadel.
Geyser.fund.
I feel like it was missed here that Linkin Park Rules sent us 100,000 sats. That feels like a baller. It's not a baller.
I mean, compared to $500, this is a baller. Are you sure? Baller. All right, there you go. Shot caller, 20 inch blades on the baller. Let me see what he's doing here. Okay, so it shows. Right, interesting. Play a part in world-changing ideas by contributing to them and launching them on Geyser. Okay, I see the sat streaming in.
I don't know what Geyser is.
It kind of looks like a front-facing helipad. In a way.
Helipad?
Yeah. Which, by the way, I want people to know, is still the best way to get the most accurate export from your node.
I mean, just to be clear, helipad has an API. Query it if you want to get stats and display them on a public website.
Yeah. And I love Saturn and Conchacks, but they don't always catch everything. You know, they're still work in progress.
It's beta. It's beta.
It's all beta. Hello. I'm amazed any of this shit works. Hello.
That's right. Yeah. it always makes me so, it always gives me lots of encouragement when I see that, that Lightning Labs is releasing,
fixes,
LND V15.1-beta. I'm like, oh, wait, this is all still beta.
I know. And I'm like, and I'm updating always at midnight, you know, I'm like, here we go, Dave.
Yeah, I just don't even look. No, I don't look.
No,
I just wake up in the morning and see the butt clenching that happened.
It's still working. Yes, good.
Oh, Mike Dell back again, 5,000 sats to Podverse. Mike, he says, happy Turkey Day. Go podcasting.
Oh, boy, thank you.
Go podcasting!
Steve Wilkinson back again through Castomatic. He says, thanks for all you do for podcasting, 33333.
Nice. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Gene Everett, 25,000 sats. He says, boost!
Mm-hmm.
Boost! By the way, I'm back on Twitter, so follow me, No Agenda, and Podcasting 2.0 fam.
Oh, he got unbanned, huh?
at Gene Everett 33. Okay.
Cool.
He sends a follow-up boost of 3333 to correct a typo in the previous boost. He says, I meant podcasting 2.0, not
2.9. Oh, gotcha.
Nomadicoder sent a boost of 1555. He says, earlier this year, you played clips of James Montgomery Boyce, and this week you mentioned Alvin Plantinga. These are names I would never have imagined I'd hear on an Adam Curry podcast. Well, you never know.
It's an Adam Curry, Dave Jones joint, so that's why you heard it. You still wouldn't hear that from me. That's why you're the pod sage, brother.
Roy Scheinfeld.
Hello, Roy.
54321 through Breeze, and he says, I love Adam and Dave.
Oh, we love you too.
We love you too, Roy.
In a world where Roy loves Adam and Dave, and Adam and Dave love Roy back. Hot showers. Hot toddies bro
hugs.
Bro, what did you say?
Bro hugs.
We got to get our ass over to Israel. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We got to go hang with Roy. He's a party animal.
That's a great trip.
You know, he calls me like, I had such a, I was partying all night. All of a sudden he sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger for some reason.
You sound just like Roy there. I mean, you nailed that.
I was partying.
Brian of London in the Hive DAO, 118,596 sats.
Oh, now, see, then that's a baller, too. Hello, baller.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Thank you.
He says, in Israel, if someone has crooked teeth, as I do, the Hebrew expression is Shanaim Anglais, literally English teeth. I really should fix my teeth, too.
Well, I got a great address for you. And before this is all over, he'll be accepting Bitcoin, FYI.
Lightning, a QR code, lightning payment right before you go under.
That's right. Good to go, Mr. Curry.
100,000 sats from Boomy over to Albie.
Ah, nice. Hold on.
Baller.
Yeah, now I got to hit a baller every single time.
On the Impala.
It's my fault. Yep. Through the Podcast Index app. Oh, that's us. That's the website. And he says,
oh, cool.
Catching up with some of the past episodes after the Adopting Bitcoin conference. Cheers from El Salvador.
Oh, he was in El Salvador. Nice. Mm-hmm. So I got some reports about El Salvador.
Oh, yeah.
From various people.
If this is the Alex Trebek pronunciation, it's El Salvador.
El Salvador. Well, there's a lot of cinema about El Salvador, and let me tell you what the finance people say.
Okay.
It's definitely true that it is that everything is alive and reviving, and the Bitcoin story has something to do with that. But to think that everyone accepts Bitcoin and it's all hunky-dory and the Chivo app works is not exactly true. It's all still a little bit, as you would expect, buggy. But every report from El Salvador is always so incredibly positive that I'm like, So it's definitely doing well, but it's not quite up there with what you might expect. That's the reports. That's the reports I'm getting.
I mean, financially, they were in such bad shape. You got to imagine it's just going to take a long time to dig out of that hole.
Yeah, but just the Bitcoin beach and the infrastructure, you know, it's like, yeah, it's getting there for sure. Because, you know, it's legal currency. But very, very few people are using it, honestly. Tourists are using it, which is good.
Anytime there's too much government control and too much government interference in an economy, there always is a thriving black market. So the black market is actually the real market, because the official market ceases to function correctly. So you'll never be able to tell the health of an economy by the official government metrics.
Do you know what?
Because that's not the real market anymore.
Well, why don't you get in there and let them know what the health is of their economy? You got the stats package for it.
I do. I brought it. I wadded it up and threw it on the floor. So,
are you mad at me about that?
No, I love you. Boomy.
No, that you love me again is different from being mad at me.
Yes, you can be mad at someone and love them dearly.
Right? Absolutely.
Boomy sent 21,000 sats again, and he says, listening to you is so incredibly exciting, and it is so good to hear others having such productive conversations and caring about the values that make me work on open web stuff since ever. Podcasting 2.0 brings back a lot of my past excitement about the early web.
Can I just stop here for a moment?
Okay.
And I'd like us all to consider that it was only 80 years ago. I mean, 80 years. You know people who are older than 80, right?
Mm-hmm.
80 years ago, our boys were out shooting at their boys, trying to kill each other in France. You know, and it's just beautiful to see, you know, I really mean this. Uh-huh. I love seeing all these different, maybe because I grew up in the Netherlands that I'm so aware of really recent history, global history, and how pissed off everybody was that we'd bomb each other and kill each other in World War II. And then here we are, all excited, working together. The technology has connected us. Just wanted to take a moment. Just wanted to say it's beautiful.
Freedom and openness.
Yes. Yes.
It yields dividends, right?
And let us be careful with that. You know, there's a lot of a-holes in the liberal world order, as they like to call it, who want to divide us.
The rules-based order,
who want to divide us and want to make us mad at each other. And there's no reason, because we all get along and we love each other and we're doing good stuff. We're creative together. And so when he says how excited he is, I want to play that back and say, you know, we like you new Germans.
too. Yeah.
You're good guys. You are.
Yes.
And we're not bad either. I mean, the Americans kind of dickish here and there, but we're working on it. We're working
there,
on it.
Yes, yeah, yeah, like, I can
everywhere,
give you a list.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a list.
Yeah.
Floydian slips, 2000 sats. They're CurioCaster.
Thank you.
And he says, just found your show, listened to the last one, and thought of a name for a full access show called CHMod 777.
I like it. Yeah, that's funny.
I like that's a good one.
CHMod 777.
Tone Record 3333. He says, the week seems bland when you two aren't holding a board meeting for us plebs to drop in. Oh, no. Wait. I take exception to that. You are not a pleb. Mm-mm, you are a full member of the board.
The board. Exactly. Board member. Put it on your business card. Put it on your LinkedIn.
That's right. Looking forward to the episode return and a hefty set of updates to catch up on. Speedy recovery has hopefully occurred for Adam already by the time these sats move over.
Indeed. Indeed. And I appreciate all the thoughts, prayers, and everything everybody sent. It really helped. Made a big difference to me. Appreciate it.
And following up with the delimiter is Comic Strip Blogger.
Hello.
33015 through Fountain. And he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. So thank you for your service for podcasting 2.0. And let's hope that 2.0 features will reach mainstream someday, and your audience is invited to listen to AI.cooking, a podcast about artificial intelligence, news, and skills with a Z, narrated by posh as fuck Mr. Fancy Pants, Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent in UK. Just enter AI.cooking in any web browser or in any podcast player app. Yo, CSB.
Yeah. Thank you very much, CSB. Every single podcast he supports. So
posh AF.
Posh AF, baby. You bet. My mouth is a little askew now. Like,
we got to wrap this before the teeth fall out.
they're kind of getting there, but it's more like the molars now have a different bite. It's all, you know what's cool about what happened, though? I put the headphones on for the first time on Wednesday. It had been a good week. Mm-hmm. And right away, I noticed my hearing has improved.
Oh,
and
that's interesting.
And it's all connected. And also my allergy, this is one of the reasons, this is for health reasons also, because I had low grade infection in my bone of my upper jaw, which was starting to affect my sinuses, which is why for 10 years I thought I had allergies, but it was really when I'm chewing. So I go to a restaurant in Austin and then we'd be having dinner and then all of a sudden I get, my nose and my eyes are running, my nose. And it's just disgusting. I have to go and blow my nose and all this stuff. And I thought it's the damn air in Austin, but of course it's the eating, the pressure. It would aggravate the inflammation, and so that probably also, since it's all connected, affected my hearing.
That's really odd. That is one of those things that you wouldn't. That's just one of those things you would never like put two and two together.
No, of course not.
That's so strange. That's awesome because your hearing is critical.
Well, it's weird because what it is I really got, I got more high end back for some reason, which is, it's interesting.
Well, this is not really on the same, it's kind of similar. My daughter, my youngest, she had a skin infection in her face, about 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And so like it was cellulitis. So, and they think,
wow,
she's got braces.
Ah, and yeah.
They think that she got an ulcer from her braces.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that some bacteria got into her cheek, which ended up in, it went up to her eye.
Eyes.
Like, below her eye was very puffy.
I was thinking of her because that could happen. That could have happened with me, the exact same thing.
Yeah. And that cellulitis is, that's like a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, she was on some heavy, like shockingly high antibiotics, like to the point where the pharmacist was like, are you sure this is right? She actually called the hospital.
Really?
Because she was like, this is a lot.
What, do you know what it was?
That's no joke.
Do you know what it was? What kind of?
The antibiotics? It was Bactrim and Augmentin, but both doses were like extremely high. It was like every 4 hours.
And that was the right one. That was the right dosage.
Yeah. They said they thought basically she was just below the threshold of having to do IV antibiotics. And so they should still do oral.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was. I think cellulitis is one of the more dangerous infections to get. So we were kind of freaked out. But
yeah, I know you were freaked out. I know you were.
Yeah, mouth infections are no joke, man.
Now, what's cool now is if I stand on one leg and I position myself a little bit north northwest, I can receive 60 meters.
India, Tango, Mike, stand by. 33.
Yeah, we're good.
Rubbleizer out.
straight from the ionosphere to your jaw.
That's right. It's incredible. It's incredible what modern science and technology can do. It's really amazing.
We've got some monthlies. You want to run them?
Yeah,
run
of course. Please.
We've got, let's see here. Podverse, $50. Thank you, Podverse. Thank you. Pod News, $50. Thank you, James.
Right. Thanks, James.
Yeah. Paul Erskine, $11.14. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10. Sean McCune, $20. Cohen Glossbach, $5. Jordan Dunville, $10. Dreb Scott, $15. Leslie Martin, $2. Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Aaron Renault, $5. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Chad Farrow, $20.22. Scott Jalbert, $12. Mark Graham, $1. New Media, $1. David Midas, $10. Joseph Maraca, $5. Jeremy New, $5. Cameron Rose, $25. Lauren Ball, $24.20. Christopher Harabarek, $10. And our buddy Mitch Downey, $10.
Ah, thank you all so very much. And remember, when you are supporting through these methods, when you're supporting through Value for Value in one of the Podcasting 2.0 apps, you're supporting the whole system. So, you're supporting Alex and Stephen Crater, who worked very hard on getting Podping up and running. You're supporting multiple apps. I mean, really, you're supporting a lot of the system, and that works that way for this podcast, but it also works supporting your favorite podcasts. And I think the big takeaway from the board meeting today was that it's all value for value as long as we respect the splits one way or the other.
And great t-shirt, by the way.
Respect the splits. Thank you. I needed a title. There you go. There it is. Yeah, respect the splits. All right. Well, maybe we should have another t-shirt, which is like, I'll put you in my value block, baby.
Too long. It'd have to wrap around the back.
Just a thought. Anything else for the wrap up?
I'm good. Let's not wait. Let's not do this long between shows again, though. It's
yeah, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm sorry. I didn't know what to do with myself either.
Stop getting surgery.
Yeah. All right, everybody. We'll be back here next week for show with Podcasting 2.0. Please join us at the board meeting. Dave, we'll see you then, brother.
See you, man.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Podcasts are cool.
Boost!